Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Welcome to the Behind the Sports Show. I'm your host, Giovanna Scroggins. This is the show where we talk about everything happening in the world and around the world of sports, not just scores, but the stories, the cultures, and the moments that truly matter. So whether you're a diehard fan or just love a good story, you're in the right place. Again, I'm your host, Giovanna Scroggins, coming to you live on the Sports Byline Podcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. I'm starting the show right here with a five-star quarterback at American Heritage High School in Florida who is currently committed to the University of Texas, Dia Bell. He's in the class of 2026. He, I believe, is currently ranked number three quarterback in 2026 and is the 12th rated player overall. I mean, he's just an all-around dog, but it runs in his genes. His dad played in the NBA for 12 years. His on-three NIL valuation is $927,000, which is one of the highest in high school football. Which brings me to my question. Are we entering an era where college sports are bigger than the pros? And we might have already entered that era because I feel like I talked to a lot of different people saying, you know, I don't really watch a lot of NFL. I watch a lot of college. For me, obviously, I watch both. I love watching both. But it's interesting, especially as these now high school athletes are getting paid. I believe Bell has already signed an NIL deal with Gatorade, but they're already getting paid. They're already committed to a school and they're coming in as a five-star. So that alone just brings in the hype versus the NFL. You have these, you know, high draft picks that come in. You've already seen them and playing in college and they kind of already know what they're all about. So it's going to be interesting. Obviously, Texas has a new bill that I think went into place, and there's a new NIL era where now Texas high school athletes will be allowed to take advantage of NIL, but there's a lot of some stipulations and a lot of restrictions around it. But I think that's interesting. Are we entering this new era where college sports not only are bigger, but, you know, more money than the pros? I don't know. We'll have to see. But it's definitely worth a conversation. Stay tuned. We have a jam-packed show today. We're going to talk some golf today right here on the Behind the Sports Show.
Progressive presents advice on new teen drivers.
You know, the hardest part about teaching your teen to drive is the chafing from the seatbelt. But the best part is the grip strength you build in your knuckles. Okay, now let's pull out of the driveway.
Here's another tip. Offset a chunk of the cost of adding a teen to your insurance with Progressive's teen driver discount and get a break from the break. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states or situations.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to the Behind the Sports Show on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. Today, we are talking about one of the craziest runs in sports history. A Tiger Slam, almost 25 years later, it still doesn't feel real, and I was barely even born yet. To break it down, we've got Brody Miller from The Athletic with us. Brody, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing good. I'm really excited to dive into this conversation and about the book that is your publishing that's coming out about Tiger Woods and this amazing run that he had and celebrating it 25 years later. I first want to start with breaking down really what made Tiger's career between 2000 and the 2000 run so untouchable. Let's kind of set the scene. Where was golf before Tiger's 2000 run, and how did that change the entire landscape of the sport?
No, that's a good place to start, because I feel like, you know, golf obviously had its, you know, the 60s and the 70s with Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer kind of popularizing it, making it more of a television product, absolutely. But by the 90s, obviously, there were great golfers, right? There was Greg Norman, there was, you know, Davis Love, there were plenty of elite, Nick Faldo, plenty of elite players, but there just wasn't, you know, it wasn't the same TV product. It wasn't the same, you know, pandemonium around it, for lack of a better word. And it was very, very white, of course. and Tiger kind of came in as this cocky, just off the charts, you know, superstar prospect, you know, coming who won three straight junior titles and three straight U.S. amateurs, things that nobody had ever done before. And when he turned pro and won the Masters in 1997 and his, you know, first, well, in his rookie season, and, you know, I think all of a sudden it was like, this guy is going to take over the sport. And I think what makes 2000 so cool, and something that I think history kind of loses a little bit, is we kind of look back now at like everything from everything in Tiger's career was just domination, and it kind of was. But 90, you know, he wins in 97 and he does something crazy. Midway through that year, he kind of realizes that his swing, that was incredible, right? He drove it further than anybody. But it was this very violent, athletic swing that took a toll on his body. It wasn't very repeatable, was less consistent. And he, even at 22 years old, he kind of understood if he wants to be the best ever for 20 years, he needed to change his swing. So at 22, him and his coach, Butch Harmon, got together at the peak of his powers and basically said, we're going to just blow up the swing. And so 97, 98, most of 90, even half of 99, he wasn't like this dominant figure. He was one of the five best, of course, but he wasn't. He won like once in 98. He was not some amazing player. And that's always, I think that gets lost a lot. That at 99, he's 24 years old, he has one major. And that's not anything crazy, right? You know, Jordan Spieth had three majors by 24. Rory McIlroy had four by 25. And finally that swing clicks. And all of a sudden, he goes on a run in 99. He wins the PGA. And that's what sets the stage for 2000. So it's like, it's easy to, we live in this era of these super phenoms, right? We love the next prodigy. But there's this moment where most of them just do okay. And there's this moment where certain ones make that leap to be transcendent and special. And that's what Tiger Woods did in 2000.
I'm so glad you mentioned the swing, because I've seen the clips of kind of his violent and aggressive swing that he had. And it almost made me think, well, man, we need to switch out the golf club for a baseball bat. And that's a home run, the way he's swinging it and the power that he has behind it. But it's really interesting when you look at it and having to then kind of go back to the basics and breaking down of really how the fundamentals of how Tiger Woods became Tiger Woods. And speaking of that, do you feel like there was a moment in this run, a single shot or even a tournament, where you felt like, okay, this man actually just broke the sport of golf?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's probably that first one where this gets rolling. You know, it's the 2000 U.S. Open, the first one in the Slam. And obviously by then, he went on like a 5-in-a-row tournament run in 2000. He's 99. He won the PGA Championship. Like, he was getting really hot. We all knew that. He was a heavy favorite. But that 2000 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, it was, everything was on him. And at the toughest course at the time, everybody knew how hard Pebble Beach was back then. And he just annihilated it. I don't know if there was like the one shot, but if there was, it was of course the famous par 5, number 7, where he hits the incredible shot out of the rough that rides up the hill over by the water and runs. And it's like he's reaching a lengthy uphill par 5 from the rough, just out of pure physical might, and just goes on to run away with that tournament by double digits, the biggest blowout in major championship history. And it was almost immediate right then that everybody kind of looked around and realized, we're screwed. It was just that sudden. And he was already dominating, but then it was something different. And the famous line in the book is Miguel Angel Jimenez was tied for Ernie's for second place, you know, 10 or 12 shots back. And he turns to one of the officials and he says, what time does the playoff start for the tournament for the rest of us? Because that was officially what was happening. And it really went that way for quite a while. I mean, he goes on to win at St. Andrews by double digits, you know, months later. And sure, the rest of it was a little more competitive, but it was very clear around that summer that everyone else was playing catch up.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't even catch up, because, like you said, he was winning by an impressive feat when it comes to these majors and these tournaments. The book that you're publishing, it's called The Year of Tiger, The Major Run That Made Tiger Woods. And in this book, you speak with various legends and various people that were essentially around Tiger's locker room, if you will. Talk to me about the people that you kind of interviewed in your book. And also tell me, was it fear? Was it respect? Or was it kind of just intimidation around like the feeling and the environment of being so close to Tiger in that era?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of what happened, it was kind of a transition in terms of, I think around like 98, 99, there was kind of an annoyance with the Tiger effect involved by some of his peers, because they were like, we're just as good as him. We're the best players in the world. And, you know, I'm getting, you know, Ernie Els would get asked at like the Masters, does he think it's Tiger versus the field? And he'd be like, that is insulting. You know, I'm one of the best players in the world. And I think it was a lot of that kind of annoyance. You know, Greg Norman was having an interview. He's like, he's just like the rest of us. We're talking about. And then I think what really happened was around 2000, to our point, it started to turn more into, oh, no, he's becoming something else. And I think you started to slowly notice people kind of tip their cap more and realize, oh, he is special. And we need to kind of not enjoy, because it was hard for them, but just like respect that this is officially something else. But yeah, there was the Tiger effect, and I think that really got rolling in 2000 as well, that when he was in contention, everybody else faded. It hasn't been proven, it's probably dramatic, but there have been psychological studies and books written about this phenomenon, that he had this, like, it's been proven in the numbers that when he was in contention, the field played like a shot worse than their average. Like, they just weren't people just fade. But, and to your question about kind of people I talk to, I think his coach, Butch Harmon, had some of the greatest stories in the world. You know, Phil Mickelson, of course, has great tales, Ernie Els. But the coolest person to talk to, I think, was Bob May, the man who was kind of just a short, stocky journeyman from California who took Tiger Woods to a playoff in 2000 at the PGA Championship. And what Tiger kind of has gone on to call at times perhaps the toughest, you know, the toughest Sunday he ever had to face, you know, and they just went toe-to-toe across this entire playoff. And, you know, hearing Bob May's story, and Bob May was this guy who was kind of, it sounds crazy to say, but as a junior golfer in Southern California, he was Tiger before Tiger, right? He won everything. He set every record that Tiger had to eventually break. Tiger had his records on the wall. But by the time they met in 2000, Bob May was just this average journeyman, like the 80th best golfer in the world. And it's just this example of the different ways being a phenom can go. But then for that one week, they were just toe-to-toe and peers, and the respect they just had for each other. I think that was my favorite part of the book and probably my favorite chapter.
Steve Williams, Tiger's caddy, had a front row seat to this Tiger effect that you speak of. And you talk to him in your book. Quickly, before we cut to break, I want to get your revelation of that conversation with him and tell us something that fans haven't really heard before.
Yeah, so I think, you know, one of the stories that some listeners may know, some may not, I think one of the most famous, most funny is the story about that U.S. Open on Saturday. You know, there was a delay in round two. They had to go back inside and finish in round three in the morning. And Tiger Woods, you know, he keeps his bag in his room. He takes some of the balls out. And he's practicing putting. Well, the next morning, you know, Steve picks up the bag, takes it back inside, and takes it back outside to go start the third round. And Steve notices as he's going up, there's only three balls left, and so about six holes. And he's panicking, but he doesn't have time to go get more as he's about to start. And he notices the time Tiger Woods isn't going to lose three balls. But then Tiger Woods gives one to a fan, and he's like, okay, I'm not going to worry yet. We still have two. And on the 18th green, on the 18th fairway, the Tiger hits his drive into the water. All of a sudden, Steve Williams is realizing they only have one ball left, and at least in his fear, he's not the guy. He's about to be the guy who gets Tiger Woods suspended at the or disqualified at the U.S. Open because they're about to run out of golf balls. He's panicking. Everything's going wrong. Of course, Tiger does, in fact, get the fairway. He gets out of the hole alive, and he survives. But it was almost a pretty hilarious disaster at that U.S. Open.
Well, stay right there, Brody. We're going to talk more golf and more about Tiger Woods' career right here on the Behind the Sports Show on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. Stay tuned.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup with our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory. No more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications you don't need and identify more appropriate replacements. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now for our genetic testing service at little or no cost to you. It starts with a call for a free medical assessment and evaluation of your Medicare coverage. Make this free call right now.
800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. That's 800-948-6814.
Welcome back to the Behind the Sports Show on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. Continuing our conversation with Brody Miller, the new author of basically a book highlighting the Tiger Slam. I know we talked about a lot of the accomplishments and the amazing feat that Tiger really reported, basically had greatness, but I want to look into kind of the unraveling of his career. Was it inevitable after he had this huge Tiger Slam to kind of see the downfall from there, like kind of in his career? Was it inevitable when you reach the top, you know?
No, I totally see what you mean. Yeah, I think it's fair to say that most of the things that made Tiger Woods what he is are also the things that led to his downfall. Absolutely. I mean, that compulsive competitiveness, that inability to ever accept good as good enough, you know, like the inability to ever sit still with himself, quite frankly, you know, are all the things that kind of led to his downfall. By the way, that works in many ways, right? It's why he kept pushing through injuries. It's why he kept trying to gain weight and muscle and hurting his knee. It's why he considered joining the Navy SEALs, you know, and all these things, because he just kept hurting his knee again because he just always wanted something else. Michael Jordan was very similar in that way, and I don't think it ever led to a downfall for Jordan, but it did lead to a lot of issues for him. And I think that's what we saw with Tiger Woods in many ways. And I think, unfortunately, those are the same things that led to issues with his personal life, this inability to sit still, this inability to be content with things because he's always looking for more and more and more. And that's his superpower, right? That's what makes him great. That's what makes Jordan, Tom Brady, Bill Russell, all these guys, is this insatiable need to constantly get better. You know, he wins the U.S. Open, and the next morning he's at Pebble Beach on the driving range still working on things, you know, and most people aren't wired that way. Even the best players in the world aren't. And that's impressive, and it should be rewarded. But at the same time, yeah, those are absolutely the things that really did kind of lead to, maybe we didn't expect it to go down the way it did as dramatically, of course not, but it does kind of make sense that this was always going to be how it played out.
To your point, too, I mean, that's what makes quote-unquote GOATs GOATs, right? I mean, when you have the greatest of all time in a sport, they're not just a regular person. They come with the adversity. They come with the whole story, whether it's a Cinderella story or whether it's a fall from grace, whatever it is, they come with this huge story, but they still have accomplished amazing, amazing things that most regular people will never even imagine accomplishing. And then even at that, most athletes in their sport cannot even kind of accomplish and get at. Obviously, again, reiterating, 25 years later now, the Tiger Slam, coming back to this book, what surprised you the most when revisiting this story and kind of writing it down?
That's a good question. I think some of it is, like, this isn't like a great answer, but just some of it is the recontextualizing, just, you know, some of the when we look back at something that we saw happen and we just remember him dominating, it can kind of just get taken for granted and kind of just get lumped together and yada yada. So I think a lot of it was going back and just realizing he had, like, the way it happened and the how. And, you know, like we said earlier, this element of what he was going into that season was not just this inevitable thing. There was pressure. That was, why aren't you winning more? And I think the other thing is, it's how, saying how dominant he was makes it sound boring, but it's the way he was dominant. It would be like, you know, he went to St. Andrews for the Open Championship. Bunkers everywhere, the most famous bunkers in the world. And they're all over the course. I forget how many off the top of my head. If I had it in front of me, I'd have it. But he did not find a single bunker the entire week, because that was just his mission that week. Because I'm not going to find a bunker. Or at Pebble Beach at that U.S. Open, he was not putting poorly, but he was having slight issues with his putting. And he kept working. He was up until like 8 o'clock on the practice green Wednesday night with his team, just trying to get something right with his putting posture that he didn't like, because he knew Pebble Beach is some of the toughest greens in the world. And then he goes out and has one of the, I believe historically, it may go down as the greatest week of putting in history. So it's like, there's these examples of every time there's like a thing that is maybe in his way, or a thing that's not a strength or something, he just goes and annihilates it. So then people are saying, okay, hey, you know, he dominated those first two where he wins the U.S. Open and the Open Championship. Great. But, you know, we still haven't really seen him win where he's truly going head-to-head with somebody. And then that PGA Championship happens with Bob May, goes into this playoff, and he has some of the most iconic moments of his career. You know, the putt, the birdie putt where he walks it in, points at it as he goes in, things like that. He proved he can win in that way. And then he goes to Augusta about 6 months later, 8 months later, and the entire world's on it, wondering if he can win the Grand Slam. This is probably the most pressure any athlete has ever been under, and he had to live with it for 6 months, and he only got better. And he goes to Augusta, and he wins this thrilling, incredible thing that's like, every time there was something that should stop him, he actually made it not just an issue, but a strength. And I think it's not a surprise, but it's just like illuminating the things we knew about him times.
Yeah, and I know we talked about Steve Williams, Tiger's caddy, a little bit before, but there's a lot of other interesting people that you've interviewed, especially in this book. Talk to me about the most fascinating conversation in writing this book that you've had with a person close to Tiger's camp.
I think Butch Harmon, his coach, is probably the answer. Just because Butch Harmon is one of the greatest coaches of all time. He's somebody who, you know, is Greg Norman's coach, as he was number one for years. And he's worked with Bill Mickelson, he's worked with so many of the greatest ever. And hearing him tell these stories about Tiger, and hearing him break down that need, that inability to sit still, that inability to not constantly push. The fact that Tiger Woods went to him and was like, you know, I want to redo my entire swing. That's not normal. And I think that, you know, the Butch Harmon conversation was some of the coolest stuff in the book for me. I think that was one of them. I think that Bob May conversation we talked about was so cool, because Bob May is just a normal guy now. He's just some guy, you know, working at a, you know, teaching at his club in California, and he's the guy who went toe-to-toe with Tiger Woods more than anybody ever. I think that's those were some of the best ones for me, for sure.
I want to shift gears and get out of the past and kind of illuminate the present right now. Obviously, you've been around golf as an amazing reporter for The Athletic. Who is your favorite golfer right now? And if you had to choose, not that it's going to happen, if you had to choose one person to come close to the Tiger Slam in their own personal, individual way, who would it be?
Ooh. I don't know if I have favorites necessarily, just kind of without, you know how it works as a reporter and whatnot, but I'd be lying if, you know, there are players that just you're most fascinated by. You know, Rory McIlroy, for all his faults, is this unbelievably fascinating character. He's so open. He's so vulnerable. We've seen him just spill every bit of heartbreak in front of us for 15 years, and then to have that moment 2 months ago at the Masters, to now have whatever's happening after. I mean, he is just always going to be the most fascinating player to write about to me. In terms of someone who could come close, I mean, the reality is it's already Scottie Scheffler, right? I don't know if he'll ever win three majors in a year, let alone four, but it's he's the only person we've ever seen come close to Tiger Woods in the sense of every single week he is just so much better than everybody else. Even on weeks he doesn't win just because, you know, putts didn't fall. But on a shot-by-shot basis, he is that unbelievable. It's why we saw him win 4 or 5 tournaments at one point last year. He won 9 tournaments worldwide throughout the year and won the Masters. And then this year he goes and wins the PGA Championship. He wins, I think, 3 of his last 4 tournaments. I mean, he is just kind of elevating himself each time. And, you know, putting used to be his biggest flaw. Now, all of a sudden, he's one of the best putters on tour 2 years later. And these are just kind of things that normal people don't do. And no, he's not Tiger Woods. No, he doesn't have Tiger Woods' compulsive need to just, you know, constantly get better. But he does have some of those things. And I think that's what makes him definitely the most likely. You know, and he's the heavy, heavy, heavy favorite to win the U.S. Open this week for good reason. And I think it'll be really interesting to see how close guys can get to those kind of seats.
Obviously, even though, again, 25 years ago, celebrating that, even though it was a past, Tiger Woods is still and will always be this household name in golf and continues to kind of elevate his style. I want to get your opinions on the TGL, which Woods is a co-founder of, the new golf league that combines indoor and team-based competition with technology. Give me your opinions around that league.
Yeah, I think it's something that when it was first announced, if I'm being really honest, I think most of us kind of rolled our eyes at or thought it was just too silly and no one would care. And I think sometimes they might get in trouble when they take themselves too seriously. But it has been, I think, a surprising success as a product.
Because I agree. I think it's definitely a success for sure. Well, thank you so much, Brody, for joining us. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, stay tuned. Next guest right after this break on BTS.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted, something premium, something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together, and we will start today.
Celebrate responsibly.
Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best? What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center. innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who'll sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, Make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Welcome back to BTS, the Behind the Sports Show. Up next, we have Jacob Byerly coming in, talking to us a little bit about college football. Jacob, how are you?
I'm doing good today. Giovanna, how are you?
Doing really good. Obviously, we're inching closer and closer to the official start of the college football season. And I, for one, am super excited. But we're going to hit on three major things today. We're going to talk about surprise players, players that might not even be on your radar. And I want to start right there. Jacob, tell me somebody that you're looking at ahead of this, what I'm expecting to be a really, really good college football season.
Oh, I'm completely expecting Austin Simmons to have one of the biggest breakout years we've ever seen out of Ole Miss with that passing style offense. We saw Jackson Dart absolutely tear it up last year. And I honestly think this kid could be better than Dart, which is pretty insane to say considering Dart set the record, all the passing records at Ole Miss that he just broke that were set by Eli Manning. And I just think Austin Simmons, he is just, he played in the Georgia game. I don't know if anybody watched, but he was put in, Dart got hurt. He was put in a really terrible position. You know, biggest game of Ole Miss history. You know, it's the first quarter. Starting QB's hurt, you're down 7-0. If you don't score here, Georgia gets the ball back, and, you know, then you're in trouble. And he leads the team down, you know, an 18-year-old kid at the time, and absolutely kills it, absolutely balls out. And for right there when I knew it, I was like, if that kid can step up with that type of pressure, he's going to have a bright, bright future, not only in the NCAA, but in the NFL.
Obviously, he has some big shoes to fill with Dart kind of going to the New York Giants. And there's a lot of positive expectations for Dart in the NFL. And I'm excited to see, obviously, I don't know if he's going to play this year, but I'm excited to see his NFL career over the years. But I'm interested to get your take on Ole Miss in general. Is Ole Miss one of the premier teams in college football this year?
I'm going to have to say so. I think last year they were ready to make a run, and, you know, they finally, Lane Kiffin finally got over the hump of winning that big game. But then he did what he, no offense, is kind of known for. He choked it against Florida and, you know, against Kentucky. You know, Kentucky didn't beat one SEC team last year, and they beat Ole Miss, and that was really the killer. You know, losing to Kentucky at home, first time Kentucky won since the 80s at Vaught Hemingway. And I think it was just incredibly interesting. But I think, you know, after that Florida loss, you know, it wasn't looking great. But all of a sudden you see Lane, you know, what does he do? He doesn't complain. He goes out and he just gets so many people in the portal. He, you know, they finally have the necessary blue chip percentage that all national champions have, plus huge portal acquisitions in Alabama, five-star wide receiver Caleb Odom, who was one of the best recruits, and then the highest-rated tight end in the portal, and Luke Haas out of Arkansas, which, you know, anytime you can take away two great players from two of the biggest rivals in your conference is great. And then they went and picked up Penn State wide receiver Harrison Wallace to sweep things off, and they also got the highest-rated player in the portal, Andrew Jones from Grambling State, linebacker. And that's why I honestly think, without bias, you know, I am a student at Ole Miss, but without bias, I do think Ole Miss is one of the, you know, black horse teams to win the national championship. I think they could have a really special run, especially, you know, with this new playoff era where we see it really doesn't matter. You know, you can be an Ohio State team with two losses and then just turn it on and torch everybody.
I mean, if we're going to be biased here, I have to talk about my alma mater, the Mustangs. SMU, I'm really pushing for them. Obviously, I think what we did last season, did we peak too soon? Not sure. I'm hoping that's not the case. But I'm really looking forward to see the Mustangs play. In addition to another great Texas team, the Texas Longhorns. I think we can get it done this year. And I know there's pressure on Arch because he did get some reps. Now, whether it was against good teams or bad teams, that's here nor there. But Arch Manning just has to play better than Quinn Ewers, which in my opinion isn't that large of a task. And I think when we did see him play this past season, there is an argument that he did play a little bit better than Quinn already. So I'm looking at Texas to possibly win the Natty, but I'm also looking at SMU to have a deep playoff run. Other teams that are in the back of my brain are Penn State and Oregon. But I'm interested to get your take. Is Colorado in trouble without Shedeur, Shiloh, and Travis?
I would say so, yes, but I'm just going to touch on one point you said. I think it's really interesting. You know, people don't know the history of the Manning family. It has very deep roots at Ole Miss and, you know, Tennessee. The state of Mississippi almost tried to kill Peyton Manning when he committed to Tennessee over Ole Miss. And it was kind of the same scenario with Arch. So I really question the SEC for not – I mean, Arch Manning is not going to play one game at Vaught-Hemingway. And I think, you know, I think that's a tragedy. But to get to your next point, is Colorado in trouble? I'm going to have to say yes. I think we're really going to see Deion without, all right, what can you do without your son? Number one, he's been coaching his son since high school. Number two, what can you do without, you know, Travis Hunter's generational talent. And what can you do without that? I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see. And they have a target on their back because, let's be honest, they talk a lot of trash. They really, you know, we saw it in the Oregon game when they went out there stomping on the field when they were 2-0, you know, two seasons ago, and they just got throttled. Teams really do take it personal every time they play them. So I think it's going to be really interesting. I think they could be good, but at the same time, it's going to be tough. I really think what's going to matter is, you know, who's going to step up at the quarterback position. They have all the weapons everywhere else. But the quarterback position, you know, Caden Salter, that transfer from Liberty, had a tough year last year after really leading Liberty to which would have been a playoff run in the 12 team. And but they also have Juju Lewis, the five-star that decommitted from USC to go to Colorado. So it's going to be interesting. And I saw in the spring game that neither one of them really, you know, played that well. And I thought that was pretty interesting. And, you know, a news story that came out yesterday that Deion was away from the team on an undisclosed health issue. You know, we still have no more info on that. And, you know, prayers out to Deion and the family for that. But it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, obviously you did catch that news. And definitely our prayers and our thoughts are with him and hope he returns to his prime coaching position very soon. But this is interesting to me because you have this team who obviously comes with a lot of star-studded attention. And then you retire the numbers, you put Shedeur and you put Travis, you put their names on the stadium and you retire their numbers and their jerseys and things like that. And now it's like, okay, now what? You've kind of hit this pinnacle, and I think it was a really, really good pinnacle to hit. But there's always been this argument that, like, Colorado was good because you had, again, like what you said, Travis Hunter, a generational talent to throw to. And Shedeur is not a bad quarterback. He's a pretty decent quarterback. Now you take that out of the equation, what do you have? So I think that's going to be really interesting to see this year. And not to even mention, they didn't even make it to the playoffs. So it's kind of like, what's next for Colorado? But another what next question for me is Bill Belichick. What do we think this man is going to do at UNC this year?
I don't know. I'm getting scared because of the reports hearing that his girlfriend is that heavily involved with some of the things, you know, the reports that came out that, you know, they had Hard Knocks originally, but then the girlfriend said she wanted to be an executive producer, so that Hard Knocks was away, and then UNC had to ban her from all facilities. And I think, I don't know, I mean, me being a Patriots fan, you know, I love Bill, but you have to think of the age. I mean, right? I think we're seeing him, you know, look at Brady's success and be like, I have to have something or that, or everyone will think that Brady did everything. Because people do believe that. after his two atrocious years in New England, the couple of years after, and Brady went and won a Super Bowl with the historically worst team ever. And that kind of did a lot. So I think he does have a chip on his shoulder. I think UNC made an absolute amazing decision by hiring him because, you know, we look at the prime thing, you know, that's kind of what they're shooting for. They already sold out season tickets. And I think they could make a run, but at the same time, he's got to start, especially with the Patriots being, you know, no side distractions, you know, the do your job, we're on to Cincinnati. And then now we're seeing this completely new Ville. We're always just, you know, and it's just, it's interesting to see. So it's honestly like a bombshell drama, you know, the way it's doing. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, the media, it reports on things that, in my opinion, I don't care who the man, you know, dates or has as a partner. He's here to coach football. That's what I'm solely looking at. And I really do hope it works out for not only Belichick, but for UNC. I mean, they're dishing out a lot of money for this man, and they want him to come in and do the unthinkable, and they want him to kind of have his glory days back that he did. But I might have to agree with you there. The point you said about, you know, was it all Brady? I don't know. It is Tom Brady, so there is an argument, but it also is Belichick, so it's kind of this toss-up. But I guess we will just have to wait and see. Give me your final thoughts. I know you mentioned Ole Miss earlier, but outside of Ole Miss, give me your final thoughts on who's winning the Natty this year.
I mean, it's super early, and, you know, football is a game where we, you know, we see it every year. Teams like SMU, you know, they just pop up. You know, like teams like ASU, they just pop up. And, you know, it really is one of those things any given Sunday, any given Saturday, you know, with football games, you know, anybody, especially in conferences like the SEC, Big Ten, you know, some of those games, like Michigan beat Ohio State this year, and Michigan is nowhere near a national championship team. And it's just really interesting. You know, I think I'm going to have to go, you know, obviously you can't count out Alabama with Ryan Williams. You know, they have a really good team. I like the Penn State. You know, they kept their running backs. They're going to be good. I mean, Notre Dame, you know, they kept their stud in Love. He's going to be an absolute, you know, terror next year. And I think they're, you know, I think people are really counting them out after the year they just had. I think Notre Dame is always going to be one of those teams that, you know, gets good recruits purely because they are, let's say, one of, like, teams like Alabama. They are football history. And so, yeah, I would have to say, you know, Penn State, Bama, Notre Dame. And I would say watch out for Arizona State. That Sam Levitt kid and what they're building with Kenny Dillingham is pretty special. I could definitely see them making a deep playoff run.
Can I throw a quick spanner in the works?
Yes.
What are our thoughts on LSU?
Destroyed. I think, you know, their coach is absolutely driving their, you know, that program into the ground. And you saw him do it at, you saw Brian Kelly do it at Notre Dame, and they're very happy that he left. So I think, I mean, yes, they'll be flashy every year, but I think absolutely you got blown out by Alabama at home. Ole Miss almost beat you at home. You should never lose those two games at home.
Right.
I mean, and Ole Miss is probably going to win this year, considering it's usually those home games decided. And
yeah,
I think it had to be embarrassing. I mean, you lose that first week again, and first week of the year you lose again to a non-SEC team. And yeah, I feel like at some point you have to feel embarrassed. And I think
I agree with you there. I definitely agree with you there. Well, thanks so much for chopping it up about college sports with us, Jacob. We'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Giovanna, for having me.
All right. Next up, we wrap up episode 12, I believe, on Behind the Sports, presented by Innovative Wellness Center.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. the COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers, and we have the inside track. Call now, and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Keep listening for an exciting offer from U.S. Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain and inconvenience of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Call 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. We'll tell you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And with insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now to learn more. 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. CGMs are the newest in diabetic technology. They can help you stay in range and manage your diabetes better. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost. And delivery is free. Remember, if you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. Co-pays and deductibles may apply. Call 800-223-4979. That's 800-223-4979. Sponsored by U.S. Medical Supply.
All right, that's going to do it for us today on BTS. What a ride. But you know what's even more of a ride? Aaron Rodgers is apparently married. And this happened in the offseason, which, you know, obviously we saw him getting signed to the Steelers. That deal was $13.65 million with $10 million guaranteed. That deal could be worth up to 19.5, but all of a sudden he shows up at a press conference and he has a wedding band on. And when asked about it, he was like, yeah, I got married. What? You can't just casually slide that in there, Aaron. Come on now. Come on now. But this season for Rodgers is going to be interesting to watch on this Steelers team. What are our expectations for him? Do we really think he's going to do anything crazy after what we did see? Or are we going to see glimpses? Obviously, it's not going to be the same. This man's old. But are we going to see glimpses of what Aaron Rodgers used to be? Be sure to tune in next week for yet another exciting episode with even more incredible guests and insights from the world of sports. A huge thank you to Brody and Jacob for joining us today. I was so excited to talk about golf. As you know, this show is a comprehensive view on the world of sports, and golf is a sport that was untouched for the BTS show. So I'm really glad we got to uncover some things, especially uncover a lot of things about one of the GOATs, or the GOAT in golf. We'll be right back here next Wednesday, same time, same place, for another episode. If you're not following Behind the Sports Show on Instagram, you need to go on Instagram right now, type in at Behind the Sports Show and follow us there. There's a bunch of exciting content, a lot more sports content, a lot of hot takes and things, and I will also be launching a very exciting social media series about Texas high school sports. We will see you next week. Again, I'm Giovanna Scroggins. This has been Behind the Sport on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. Keep supporting, keep celebrating, and keep being curious about what happens behind the sport.